We are glad to present your speaker, Garland Elkins.
The premillennialists make a great to-do over Daniel's 70 weeks or 490 years. In fact, they have formulated a chart of Daniel's 70 weeks, and in the chart on the 70 weeks, they try to find a place for the church as a contingency, that is, as an accident, or as an afterthought. And they claim, of course, that the kingdom promises were defaulted. They deny that when Daniel said in Daniel 2:44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." And even though we traced that out in earlier studies and have shown that the church and the kingdom is the one and same institution, and that indeed it was established on the day of Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ from the dead, as we learn in Acts chapter 2, the premillennialists deny that. They claim that the kingdom promises were defaulted. But our Lord did not believe that. In Mark 1:14-15, "Now when John was delivered up, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel.'" Now our Lord said it was about time for the kingdom to be established. In fact, he identified the kingdom as being near at hand. And the premillennialists, though, deny that, but of course they're in errors. They are on other points that they teach. But then some of the premillennialists try to find a place for the church or a contingency in the place of the defaulted, what they imagine are defaulted kingdom promises. And this they designate as the time of the Gentiles. And then they try to find a place for Daniel's 70th week, which week, according to some of the premillennialists, incorporates, they say, the rapture, the tribulation or war against the Antichrist, and the revelation or return of Christ in the flesh, and erroneously they contend that he will come to the earth to reign over an earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. Of course, all of these eras of premillennialism we have shown to be an era and plan to continue to do so. A historical background is necessary, though, for proper interpretation of the 70 weeks period which the angel Gabriel showed Daniel. The historical background involves King Belshazzar of Babylon, who has incidentally shared a co-regency with his father Nabonidus. On the night that King Belshazzar defied the living God by bringing the vessels taken from the temple into the banquet hall, a hand from out of nowhere appeared and wrote upon the wall. Belshazzar became frantic with fear. In time, the queen mother, the widow of Nebuchadnezzar, came into the banquet hall and insisted that Belshazzar send for Daniel. And thus Daniel was brought in before the king. Now, the king had heard of Daniel, but he did not know him personally. And so it is apparent that Daniel had been fated out of governmental affairs, and perhaps at the assassination of evil Merodach, the son of Nebuchadnezzar. But Daniel interpreted the writing on the wall, a writing which spelled the doom of Belshazzar. Belshazzar, in keeping with his aforementioned promise, clothed Daniel with purple and put a chain of gold about his neck, made proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. Of course, Belshazzar himself was only a second ruler. And in that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom, being about 80 years old, Daniel 5:30-31. Now, further, the historical background for the 70 weeks involves Darius the Mede, who, with the assistance of a fifth column of priests already in Babylon, priests who changed the course of the river and left the drawbridges open, Darius the Mede successfully stormed the palace of Belshazzar, and that without a long and bitter struggle against the well-fortified walls. Thus, overnight, the rule of Babylon moved from Belshazzar to Darius the Mede. And at this juncture, Daniel was moved to a high position of government. He was first made one of three presidents over all the others, and then he was exalted next to the king himself. Now, under those circumstances, Daniel began to calculate how that 68 years of the 70-year period of desolation, as had been prophesied by Jeremiah, had already passed, and that therefore the period of desolation was essentially up. Further, Cyrus, who had not yet arrived to take over his rule of Babylon, had already embraced Marduk, the Babylonian god. And so Daniel thus saw no indications whereby Jeremiah's prophecy would be or could be, under those circumstances, fulfilled. There was no indication that Cyrus would in any way favor God's people. So within the context of circumstances, Daniel prayed unto Jehovah and made confession for his own sins, and particularly for the sins of his nation. He confessed the justice of God in the matter of the long period of desolation, and he prayed earnestly that now Jehovah would cause his face to shine upon the sanctuary that is desolate. In answer to his prayer, Jehovah dispatched the archangel Gabriel to Daniel to encourage him relative to the temple of Jehovah. The angel showed Daniel not just another 70-year period, but 7 times 70, or a period of 490 years. And then the angel Gabriel announced, 70 weeks are determined. The meaning of the statement was that a period of 490 years had been set aside by God for a definite purpose. The purpose being the accomplishment of the great object for which the temple and city should and would be rebuilt in the first place. The statement not only meant that the temple would be rebuilt, but also it meant that a period of 490 years, beginning at that particular time, would be required for the temple and city to accomplish the great object for their existence. The angel further set forth the objects or purposes for which the temple and the city would be rebuilt. In Daniel chapter 9, it is said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books, the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly, and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day. To the men of Judah, and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near, and that are far off, throughout all the countries whither thou hast driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belongeth mercies and forgivenesses, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. And he hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, thou hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain. Because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate, for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not. For thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mouth of my God, yea, whilst I was speaking in my prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee. For thou art greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks, and I would emphasize this part, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, and to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks, and 62 weeks. The city shall be built again, and the wall even in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. And the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now that's Daniel 9, the entire chapter, 1 through 27. Now I would point out again that he mentions that there would be a number of objects of purpose for which the temple and city would be rebuilt. And that, of course, is rebuilding it after the Jews were returned from Babylonian captivity. As one object to be accomplished, the 490-year period would, according to the angel, finish transgression. You remember that I read that in Daniel 9:24. The meaning of finished transgression is that by the end of the 490-year period of time, the gospel would be preached and sin and iniquity would be restrained or shut up. Sin would be enclosed, shut up, or as if imprisoned. In other words, it would be curtailed. In short, the progress of sin would be restrained. You'll notice another object to be accomplished that the 490-year period would accomplish, according to the angel, would make an end of sins. Now, the meaning of make an end of sins in this text is that by the end of 490 years, Christ would have made his blood atonement for mankind. 490 years from the time the period is mentioned to Daniel, Christ would have made his blood atonement for mankind, whereby sins could be completely covered and removed. Until Christ shed his blood, no sins could be forgiven fully and in the absolute sense. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 9:22, for without the shedding of blood, and he's speaking of Christ's blood, there can be no remission of sins. In Hebrews 10:4, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. But then a third object to be accomplished, the 490-year period, would, according to the angel, make reconciliation for iniquity. The meaning of make reconciliation for iniquity is that by the end of the 490 years, a means would be made for the wiping out or covering over of sins, so that men could and would be urged to reconcile themselves unto God. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17-19, and having committed unto us, speaking of the apostles, Paul and his fellow apostles, the word of reconciliation, thus sin would be restrained, sealed up, and covered over. The angel Gabriel mentioned certain additional things which would be accomplished at the end of the 490 years, namely, first, the period would bring in everlasting righteousness. Two, seal up vision and prophecy. And three, anoint the Most Holy One. Now, to bring in everlasting righteousness means to cause true righteousness to come into the world. The prophet spoke of how righteousness would characterize Christ, the Messiah. To seal up vision and prophecy meant that the prophecies of the Old Testament concerning the Messiah would be fulfilled, that they would be no longer open and awaiting fulfillment. To anoint the Most Holy meant that the Messiah would be anointed or crowned king. David was anointed king, and the Messiah, who was Christ, a descendant of David, would be anointed, and Peter declared on Pentecost that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified, Acts 2:36. Thus, in addition to the fact that sin would be restrained, or sealed up, or covered over, there were three additional things necessary to complete the 490-year period. Namely, one, to bring in everlasting righteousness, two, to seal up vision and prophecy, and three, to anoint the Most Holy. The angel Gabriel showed Daniel that 490 years, the 490-year period, would be divided into three distinct categories. Daniel said, "Know therefore and discern that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem until the Anointed One, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks, and it shall be built again with the street and moat, even in troublesome times." Now that, of course, is in verse 25 of chapter 9. One should observe that the beginning point of the count for the 490 years would be when the commandment went forth to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. And there are actually three commands or commissions with respect to the return of the Jews from Babylon to Jerusalem. The first commission was given to Darius to Zerubbabel in the first year of his reign. The commission was to rebuild the temple of Jehovah. The second commission was given by Artaxerxes to Ezra in the 7th year of his reign, which was some 80 years later. The commission was to restore the law. The third commission was given by Artaxerxes to Nehemiah, and that was in the 20th year of his reign, which was some 93 years later than the commission to Zerubbabel, and some 13 years later than the commission to Ezra. The commission was to rebuild the city. The beginning date for the count for 490 years was therefore the 20th year of the reign of Artaxerxes. According to the angel Gabriel, there would first be a period of 7 weeks, or a period of 49 years, during which time the city would be built. That is, the city would consist of houses and streets as in its former days of glory. Zechariah later prophesied how that old men and old women shall yet dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, every man with his staff in his hand for every age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Zechariah 8, verses 4 and 5. The point of Gabriel's message, then, was the fact that a period of 49 years would be required for the city to be as it had been in former years. According to the angel Gabriel, the 7 weeks period would be followed by a 62 weeks period, or 434 years. Thus, a combined total of 483 years. Now, this would be 7 years short of the 490 years. According to the angel Gabriel, Jehovah would make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. That is, for a period of 7 years. And I might mention that when the Israelites spied out the land of Canaan, brought back an evil report, that the Lord pointed out to them that every day did represent a year of their paying for their rebellion. They spied out the land 40 days. But God, of course, multiplied that and made their wandering in the wilderness 40 years. And that, of course, is the way it's used here in Daniel. A week used, of course, in the sense of years. So according to the angel Gabriel, Jehovah would make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, that is, for a period of 7 years. And in the midst of the weeks, or in 3.5 years, he would cause the sacrifices and oblations to cease. The prince would be introduced at the beginning of this week, or period of 7 years, and he would be cut off or put to death in the midst of this prophetical week, or in other words, in 3.5 years. Christ began his personal ministry at the age of 30, and 3.5 years later, he was put to death on the cross. When Christ was put to death on the cross, he made sacrifices and oblations to cease. And Paul tells us that in such passages as Colossians 2:14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. But on Pentecost, as recorded in Acts chapter 2, following the cutoff of the prince, that is of Christ, in the midst of the 7 year period, in the midst of the week, the church of Christ was established. And within the next 3.5 years, the gospel was preached to the Jews and had moved to the Samaritans. Thus, the angel Gabriel through the prediction of the 70 weeks, gave Daniel the assurance for which he prayed. The prediction contained all of the consolation and assurance which Daniel longed for and sought for when he began his prayer. While the 490-year period was a source of comfort and encouragement to Daniel, there was also a very sad note sounded. Jerusalem would be destroyed again. The angel did not say when, but he did say that the prince would be cut off, and that then the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and overflowing or overwhelming, and even unto the end shall be war. Desolations are determined. The prince of the people was Titus, who was dispatched by his father with an army to Jerusalem to put down once and for all the rebellion of the Jews. While the angel Gabriel gave no date for this destruction, he said that upon the wing of abomination shall come one that maketh desolation. The wing of abominations indicated that the prince of the people would come riding on the wing of abominations or swiftly. Jesus had the words of Daniel in mind when he spoke of the destruction of Jerusalem. For he said, when therefore ye see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. So we know he had Daniel's words in mind, for he refers to him. When therefore you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let him that readeth understand. Then let them that are in Judea flee unto the mountains. Matthew 24:15-16. And I might point out that all of Matthew 24 through verse 34 was fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem. And there are all kinds of speculations on Matthew 24, and the premillennialists are chief among those who misapply these passages. But in verse 34, Jesus said, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. Now, regardless of what anybody says about it to the contrary, Jesus said that that particular generation would not pass away until all of those things were fulfilled. Now, if you hear premillennialists on the radio, over television, read their tracts and articles, hear them at any place, almost all of them will take Matthew 24 and the first 34 verses, first 33 verses in particular, and they will claim that those prophecies and predictions and so on have not been fulfilled. Jesus said, and I want to call attention to the reading of it again, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things shall be fulfilled. And so therefore, with that in mind, I would point out that there is absolutely no place in the 70 weeks of Daniel for a time of the Gentiles. And there is no place for a rapture, a tribulation, and a revelation as per the claims of the premillennialists. The premillennialist doctrine is not only false, but friends, may I say this kindly, but I hope in such a way that it will not be misunderstood, premillennialism is a downright materialistic infidelity. Now, that's certainly the truth of the matter. It is one of the greatest religious frauds ever perpetrated upon mortal man. And the consequences and implications of premillennialism are monstrous. In the first place, if Daniel's prophecy, which contended or prophesied that the church or kingdom would be set up in the fourth world empire, which was the Holy Roman, was the Roman Empire, not the Holy Roman Empire, but the Roman Empire, then Daniel would be discredited as prophet. In the next place, if the kingdom was not set up, our Lord would be discredited as a truthful person, and certainly would be discredited as the Messiah. For he said in Mark 1:14-15, now when John was delivered up, or Mark records this, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching and saying, the kingdom, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe in the gospel. And then, of course, if the kingdom has not been set up, then we couldn't rely upon the Bible, for in Colossians 1:13, Paul said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom. So they were in the kingdom, into the kingdom of his dear Son. And in addition to that, in Revelation 1 and in verse 9, John says this, I, John, who also am your brother. Well, was he their brother? He said he was. Your brother and companion in tribulation. Was he a companion in tribulation? He said he was. And in the kingdom. Well, was he in the kingdom? Indeed, he said he was. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. My friends, the premillennialists are wrong. The kingdom was set up on the first Pentecost following the resurrection of Christ from the dead, Acts chapter 2. I don't know whether I'll be able to get to this or not, but later I might discuss Matthew 24. But if not, I would say this. If I don't get to discussing it, I've discussed it before on the program. But won't you enter the kingdom through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism? At that point, the Bible says you're born of water and the Spirit. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We thank you for listening today.